From regular Doug voice.
Probably put this on like silent.
Is someone recording?
It's episode 171 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug, and I've signed up for hell.
Again.
As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge topics from movies, music, TV, theater, and other pop culture events. Today I am joined by part of the cast and director of Stageworks Theater's production of Drop Dead, which by the time you're listening to this will be next week. You can reach us at the Hodgepodge Podcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for the Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. Usually Matt's here to say and like our page.
And like our page.
Shut up!
I'm telling Matt, you said that.
No, we were supposed to say that.
No, you don't. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I was going to say .com.
You're fired. You're fired.
It's .org.
Let's start .org. With the lady. And everyone introduce yourselves. We'll go this way. Skipping me, of course. Because I've already introduced myself. Start! Stop looking at your phone. Start!
I'm Mia Peters, and I am the director of Drop Dead.
I'm Ron Lopez, and I play Victor LePew.
I am Joey DeSena. I'm playing Philip, the stagehand.
Stage manager.
Whatever. Oh, that's right.
Stagehand.
Stagehand.
Thinking
of something else.
I got a stage.
I'm going to stagehand. Stage. Oh, yeah. I'm Jason Chris, and I play Drools, the butler.
I am Michael Parker, and I play Saul Weisenheimer.
I don't even know what my name is.
I don't know who I am, but I play Saul.
And I am playing Brent slash Alexander.
Oh, right. I'm also Chaz Looney.
And sometimes I call him Brent Alexander because I forgot his real last name.
Burt Reynolds.
I know.
Funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Funny.
Funny things. Yeah, funny hats.
Talented nephew.
For those of you who listened earlier this year to the podcast we did for And Then There Were None, you recognize some of these voices, three of them.
But I was a butler back then.
You were an actual butler.
Now I'm a butler.
Now you're acting as a butler. Mia, why don't you tell my listener what this show is about?
Well, this is a it's a fun farce that was written by Billy Van Zandt and Jane Millmore. You would recognize Billy Van Zandt probably best as Stephen Van Zandt's brother. I think little brother.
Little Stephen's little brother?
I think so.
He must be really small.
He must be really small.
Yes.
T.
He's better.
What are we going to do, T?
But it's a farce. It makes fun of my favorite genre of book, which is murder mysteries. And it's super fun. It's organized chaos, and you get to see set pieces break, and people die, and bad things happen to even badder people or badder actors. And
sounds hilarious.
It is.
Badder or
death.
Yes, it's hilarious death.
Is there any funny dismemberment?
No.
Just death. Oh, well.
Wait, maybe. You'll have to come and find out to see.
Ah!
Ha 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 ha! How did you find this show? Did the Stageworks board, did they assign you this show?
No.
Oh,
they
okay.
Weren't, like,
so,
fully...
when I was pitching, when I was looking what I wanted to pitch, I looked online for shows that weren't being done a lot.
Right.
In community theater, because there are so many shows that are just everybody does them. I wanted to look for something different. And I was specifically looking for murder mysteries. I mean, that is my favorite genre. I already had a Agatha Christie show to pitch, so I wanted something that wasn't Agatha Christie. I knew that the towns were looking for a comedy, and when I read the script, I thought it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, my favorite part about farces are that they can be played as ordinary people who are just in the most absurd situations. And I think that's why the show really spoke to me, mm-hmm. is that I can kind of see people I know in the theater community in some of these roles.
Oh, really? So who are we all really?
Nope. No, and it's not that one character is somebody. There are people that I know that are, or we see it even in celebrities, and you see people holding on for dear life to something that they really should just let go.
Like The Rock.
And it struck me.
Let go of The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's just not letting go of paydays until they
He should just hang it up. He's washed up and finished.
But we see things and people, and it reminded me of some people, and I thought that was very funny script. And you know, I love taking the world and the people that playwrights create and bringing them to life, putting faces to these characters and movement to the words. It's really fun to me to do that. And I just fell in love with the script, and I thought it would be fun to do. So I pitched it, and it got accepted, and here we are.
Here we are.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. How did you discover stage works and the show?
Well, when I moved here from California in January, I Googled community theaters, and mm-hmm. I was staying in Holly Springs, and your show was playing.
And then
there were none was playing.
I can't help with that yet, but I'm always learning.
Can't help with that yet. So I decided that I would go see and check it out, and I went and saw your show, and I liked it, and I said, hey, I'd like to work for this company, and it's right here in the backyard where I'm staying.
Right.
So then I auditioned for Mama Won't Fly, and Mia approached me.
During somebody else's audition.
Listen, don't
and
do
said,
this.
Said, I gotta have you.
And said, you need to read this. And I said, okay. And so here I am. And it's a great group of people, and it's a great show. Come out and see us.
Drop dead.
Playing at the Holly Springs Cultural Center. The show is September 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th.
And for the rest of your life.
The 16th at 7 p.m. The other days at 7:30. And there's a 2 p.m. show on Saturday and Sunday. So the 15th and 16th, there's 2 p.m. shows. There's my favorite.
And none sold out. Is that right? Yeah.
Not yet.
All right. Not yet.
Right. Yeah, and it's not sold out yet as of this recording.
So hurry up and buy your tickets.
And then there were none sold out. I think Mama Won't Fly sold out. Mm-hmm. And
There was like black market Holly Springs Theater tickets being sold for both And Then There Were None and for Mama Won't Fly.
Really?
Which I just want to say, the two female directors knocked it out of the park this past season. All with
right. Woman with power. Woo!
That makes me worried.
Look at all the women we have here.
My comp tickets are on the car unlocked. No, I'm worried.
But most of the cast was, all but Joey, was in one of the two shows.
So don't fuck this up, Joey.
Yeah. And we had we also have Noelle and Laura Parker, who were in Mama Won't Fly, and Noelle and Laura
Arwood
were also in, and Craig were also in And Then There Were None. So yeah. These are we have a lot of return actors, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Joseph.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Welcome to my podcast.
What?
What?
No. You took over.
You can have it. It's a lot of work. How did you end up here in your house.
Came home from work and those people just showed up. What's going on?
That's not as interesting as I thought it would be. Moving on.
So I did a show earlier this year. Actually, I was called in to do a show for someone who quit over in Cary Players.
Oh, what was that show called?
That was what was that called?
Plaza Suite.
Plaza Suite.
Oh, I was in that show.
Actually, I played
of the. I'm getting to that. Shh. So. And there I met the stage manager there, Mia, who's Mia, director of this show, was stage managing that show. Of course, I didn't realize I actually met her like 6 months prior, and I had completely forgotten. But...
That is so memorable.
What an impression
what
you left.
What a special thing you have.
But something she, she and one of the other board members there asked me to join for this person who left, and she said one of the things she saw me in another show last year for Women's Theater Festival, and she said, "Oh man, I was really impressed with your performance, and I knew I had to have you." So the next show she was doing was
I had to have fun.
She says this to everyone. This is how she gets everyone to go.
Actually,
up.
I also said it to Jason.
That's true.
So
sort
the,
of
the next show she was directing is this one, Drop Dead. So I auditioned, and here I am.
Very special right now.
I pursued you as well. Shut up.
You never said you must have me.
Great. Great.
Not that
I didn't know you, Doug. I couldn't
not
say
not out loud and other
whatever.
Presence,
shut up.
But at all night,
right, so you had your chance to talk.
Ooh.
Jason, Chris,
what?
Longtime friend of the show.
Hi.
Welcome back. Let's talk about the Naked Gun.
Not everyone in the room will get this present, this reference, but you might remember me from Boob fame. Boob? You Boob!
Jason has been on several episodes of the Hodgepodge Podcast, and...
He-Man Podcast of yore.
And as Mia said, he was also in And Then There Were None, and he was in that episode as well.
Yes.
What brought you to Drop Dead, aside from Mia badgering you?
No, that was it. No, she didn't badger me for this one. I had such a great time on the first show that I couldn't wait to try out for this one. I feel like I'm already typecast, but that's okay. It's actually a totally different part, so it's a lot of fun.
That was Chaz Looney right there.
It's a lot of fun.
I almost believe that. Give me another one.
Call police.
No police. I'm not insured. I mean,
I'm not that sure.
Not that sure.
Okay. Great.
It's a short and sweet
it's
story.
Getting, it's going from long, medium, short,
yeah.
Really short. Michael. Buh. Okay, now.
I was walking down the street and I saw a sign. I went in. All right, next.
Okay. As previously stated, I was in None. I had a great time with the cast, with
now,
the
now, let's make it clear. You mean And Then There Were None, not the upcoming film, The Nun.
Correct.
Okay.
I was never in The Nun.
That would be odd.
And awkward. Yes. No.
Only the priests are in the Nun.
In whose endo? Wow.
We know that's not true. Nuns aren't children. Continue.
Zingity zang.
So I was in And Then There Were None. Had a great time working with Mia and working with the cast. And Mia actually started telling us about the script for this before we closed out And Then There Were None. And I was at that point committed. I didn't care. I'd crash and just insist on being in rehearsals even if she didn't cast me. So, and now I get to do a farce and play, yeah, just an ordinary person who happens to produce porn.
Just so happens.
You know where they don't produce porn? Anyway. That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Deep inside.
Well,
hopefully,
no.
Come to 10x10. Hopefully, come to 10x10 next year, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Maybe, I don't know.
I'd like to add that working with me is why I really got on this show.
Oh, it's too late now. You're not, you can't write on his coattails now.
Hey, you can edit this and cut and paste however you want.
Yeah, but I don't. So I just take out the dead space and the ums. That's all I take out. Mia was shocked how much I left in last time.
To be fair, I pursued every single one of you for this show. Every single one of you. And I didn't pursue you for And Then There Were None because I didn't know you were alive.
Fair.
Nice.
We thought you died. You're dead. Dead.
Like
real
most
nice.
Women.
Real nice. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, no, that's true. It's true. It's true. You know how many girls I've talked to on dating sites and then they just ghost? Yeah, fuck them.
They forgot you were alive.
Let's talk about dating sites. So
let's talk about dating sites. They're all a scam.
Listen, eHarmony.
Doug Simpson thought you were dead.
That's right. That's how it goes in my life.
<I'm> sorry.
That's the first thing Ron said to me when he met me. I thought you were dead. I don't even know you, and I thought you were dead.
Just because you ran off a cliff in the last show.
So why don't everybody, except for Mia, because she's not playing anybody in the show, why don't you tell us, everybody tell us a little bit about your characters.
Why am I first? I'm the director. I was the toast of the town, and then I produced something that didn't go quite so well, so I had a little nervous breakdown. I had to go to the Betty. But everyone goes to the Betty, so that's fine. I'm in the club now. We have meetings. It's lovely. Liza's there.
Oh, my God!
Liza and Betty.
And I was resurrected when I read this novel, and I wrote, I adapted it for the stage. I added that. It's going to be in the current speech, I think. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
What was the name of the novel?
Something about the world ending.
The world vision and the eternal snow god.
Really a lot of words for a title.
It's a lot of words. Really, I listened to her first word and then the last word of that little speech, so I know when to talk again. I don't really listen to the in the middle.
You read that title and said, drop.
Yes. Hey, that's what I did.
Acting lessons from Ron Lopez.
That's who I am. And lovely Philip has resurrected my life. I could not survive without him.
Resurrected your life.
That brings us to Joey. That's me.
Hello.
Sorry, who pays your paychecks? So I don't think that's important, Mr. Weisenheimer.
So, as I said, I'm Philip, the stage manager. I give myself a promotion there. And basically, kind of your typical stage manager in my experience, just kind of crazy, frazzled, just has had it. Oh, this is R-rated podcast, right?
Yeah.
Down with everyone's shit.
You mean caca poo-poo.
I meant caca poo-poo.
Caca.
You can say whatever you want. Cock, balls, see? You can say whatever you want.
Oh, it didn't explode. What happened?
I didn't know it was that kind of party.
I said the F-word in the last one.
And my mother commented on that.
Oh!
Made
no.
Somebody blush.
Can we say the heavy seven?
But yes, became enamored with, I was going to say Ron, but Victor LePew, the director's work.
Not Ron.
Amarillo, Ron. Galileo, Life Beneath the Roses.
Life Beneath the Roses.
Wave Goodbye to Daddy.
Wave Goodbye to Daddy. All the greats. And so ever since he got out of the Betty, has been working with him to get him back on top and the accolades he deserves.
Phrasing.
Phrasing.
The Betty.
The Bet.
Betty!
The Bedford Clinic.
Jason.
What? I play Chaz Looney, a young, dumb actor.
But who are you in the show?
You see what happens on podcasts?
That's right. That I can edit out.
Or you can loop it as many times as a day. Chaz has been trying to get to some New York stage for about a decade, and he finally got in. Pretty much because of his name and because the director's a little hard up for people to appear in this show, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Hard and down? Hard
and
down.
And you're pretty.
Yeah, well.
Soup can.
Got a dick like a soup can, to
Andy.
Be clear.
Wow. Way to ruin the inside joke.
I just want to put it out there.
Not that I'm a size queen.
You know how many times Andy Warhol painted my genitals?
Okay.
Anyway, and Chaz plays Drools, the family butler, who is an older man, and Chaz really has no idea how to put on makeup for that, so he does a terrible job. Drools is also not great at his job, because Chaz is not great at his job, but well, I don't want to ruin it. I was going to say something that might give away.
Don't! Michael!
Yes! Moving along.
Tell us about Saul Weisenheimer.
Saul Weisenheimer is... Oh, he's an odious human being. As vile as I can make him. He actually... he makes his money. He owns a couple of pawn shops, jewelry repair, bail bond service. He produces porn. Well, really finances porn. You don't actually want to work in it. That's work. But... He's busy making money and breaking knees elsewhere. So he actually produced this little gem of a show for his girlfriend. And
Candy Apples, played by Noelle.
Yes.
Azarello.
Trying to get her out of porn because he doesn't share well. And yeah. And he's just an absolute rat bastard.
Nice.
Who takes delight in belittling people.
Nice.
Yes.
And he smokes cigars. That's so unbecoming.
And that's one of his more pleasant features.
Okay. All right. Oh, me. Brent is a fading actor who is trying to cling to lead roles. And he had no success until he went to the theater and had moderate success. In a past life, he had a very, very, very short dalliance with an actress named Mona Monet. Guess who's also in the show?
Who is played by Michael Parker's real life wife, Laura Parker.
Who's not important.
No. She might murder you. You're saying that. Wow.
Did you say who is not important?
No, he said who is not important.
Okay. No, that's what I heard too. Not important. I'm like, wow.
And then I was like, why is she going to kill him? Does she want to be in porn? I think Laura should come on this show now and say whether she wants to be in porn or not.
Just asking questions.
Just texting, Laura, do you want to be in
porn? Laura, it's very important.
Yeah,
can I say it myself?
We also... who else is in the show? Laura Arwood plays Constance...
who is also Lady Barrington. And Laura Arwood, you might remember her from And Then There Were None. She has now got the triple crown
of British ladies.
British
old British ladies.
Death adjacent British ladies.
Yeah.
Who are bitchy. And it is so not Laura. It's not at all her, but she plays it so well.
And I've been all three of the shows too.
Yeah. And well, this is the fourth one that she's done.
Oh.
The ones that y'all weren't in were Silver Linings at Sonorous Road.
Ah, okay.
But so this is the fourth death adjacent
bitchy
old British lady for her. She is also being typecast. Apparently.
If you're on the fence about this show, come and see it to watch Laura. She's going to steal this show.
Yeah.
And so who else do we have? We have Craig Ashby, who plays Dirk McDagger. Her longtime started as a fanboy of her back in the 50s, 40s, possibly 30s. I'm not
the
sure.
Day.
And has stayed with her through all this time. We have Claire Bergman, who is playing, what is her name? She has a name, though. Her last name is Tent, and I thought that was very funny. But she is, maybe Anna St. Tent, something like that. And she is Mona Monet's assistant, and she's a long-suffering, T-I-N-T, Tent of Your Hair.
Oh.
Or
I heard
not.
Too.
No. Okay.
I heard that too.
I heard tent, but that's a different
I heard
visual.
Hair.
Mona calls her titties. So
Jordan Long.
Jordan Long, who I saw in a couple of different things, but most recently he was in Almost Maine at Carrie Players, and he is playing, which Joey was also in.
And Laura.
And Laura Parker. And he plays a detective.
Dick Scorsese,
yes. And also Inspector Mounds, and there are more people. Noelle plays, who was in And Then There Were None. as Vera. She is playing Candy Apples, who is the ex-porn star, or at least the porn star that Saul Weisenheimer is trying
transitioning
to
porn star.
Ex as of this afternoon.
That's a negotiation.
It's a negotiation. Because
the show's a hell of a lot cheaper than buying her a house.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Then we have Allie Lewis, who is trying to costume this monstrosity with zero budget, and it's a struggle for her. Backstage, we have Jen Trepper, who is our props master.
He's getting the show.
Oh, the most important person in the show, Michelle Corbett, who wrote the novel that the play within the play is based on. She's Alabama Miller. And she is absolutely fantastic.
Unrepentant racist Alabama.
She is not.
I was talking about the state.
The state.
To clarify, Alabama Miller wrote the book, not Michelle Corbett.
Yes. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Bless. Okay, so channeling my inner Laura Parker. So behind stage, we have Jen Trepper, who is our props mistress, master. She is a gem and absolutely fantastic. Things that she has come up with for the show are absolutely amazing. We have Taylor Nichols, who was my assistant director in Then There Were None, and she is sort of my right-hand woman for this show. And Sky Lewis, who's Allie's daughter, is the high school is sharing with us. And she is great backstage helping with stage management. And Blake...
Narricott.
Narricott from And Then There Were None is helping backstage as well. So we have a full house.
But you just said it didn't sell out yet.
Idiot. So witty.
All right, so we talked about that. What has been everyone's favorite part so far? Without spoiling anything, any like major plot points.
I love at the very end.
I love at the very end the Tyrannosaur comes out and then starts eating people. It's so great. I don't know how he got on that stage with the sneakers. That's why the end of Jurassic Park makes no freaking sense. How does that Tyrannosaur get in there without like destroying the building?
He's very sneaky. Tyrannosaurus is
no, it's horseshit.
It's the ninja of dinosaurs.
No, it's horseshit. It's horseshit.
What?
Jurassic Park. The end of the play. You weren't there when we rewrote it.
He stepped in horseshit and that made his feet silent.
What has been your favorite
bullshit
thing?
I have loved watching everyone get comfortable in their roles to the point where they can add their own bits of humor. Especially the most recent rehearsals. People have heightened their characters and added little bits of humor. It's a lot of fun. That's my favorite.
Easy answer. Michael?
Yeah. My favorite part? Come back to me.
He likes nothing.
Joey?
I think if everyone's being honest, it's probably going to be the same thing Jason said. I almost said Chaz. The same thing Jason said. I mean, it's just like, this is a big farcy farce. So there's a lot of, you know.
It's very Naked Gun-ish.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And like I said, like I kind of commented before, there's a shitload of people in this cast. So especially when you have the whole cast up on stage, Mia said, but the thing, you know, there's so much going on. I mean, there's the obvious like focal point of where you should be looking and paying attention because that's where the plot's being driven. But then there's like 10 other people doing things, maybe not 10, but you know what I mean.
Sometimes
doing lots of little things.
That's a different play.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
under the rainbow.
That's
a really good point.
But yeah. As Mia said, it's like she's actually kind of trying to convince some friends to come see the show twice, once to like actually follow the action and see what's going on,
yeah.
And one to completely not pay attention to that and just look at what's going on in the background because it really is a lot of funny stuff.
Yeah, you really should get 2 tickets for this show.
Two times.
You should
you should
come twice.
Oh,
You're disgusting. You disgust me.
That's
offensive.
We're trying to have a family podcast.
We're trying to have a fucking family podcast, all right? So, come to the Saturday or the Sunday and just do both shows in one day. Just do it.
Oh, I thought you meant buy two seats and sit alone next to yourself.
Just spread out. You should come to back-to-back shows.
Yes.
All right, Ron.
What was the question?
What has, without giving any spoilerific plot points away, what has been your favorite part of doing this show so far?
Well, my favorite part probably doesn't have anything to do with the show at all. So, most of everybody, to give a little backstory, mostly everybody has done work together before, and I was the new kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I read through the script with everybody...
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was very comfortable with each other, and you all had your little jokes, and I left thinking, oh my god, how am I going to break into this group?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to be quiet. And everyone's been very welcoming, and it's been a very safe place to be able to explore and create and to get into this part. And I just want to thank everyone for that, and that's been my favorite part of the whole thing, is just getting to know everyone and work in this great group of people.
Yeah, you're adopted.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think we would have done it anyway, but you nailed
the
reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
Okay, my favorite part about the show is we finally get another Californian in the area.
I'm another California in the house!
Really?
Well, that's right. Harvick's from...
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually,
really?
I didn't know
there's three Californians in this show.
It's like rats.
No. Well, then guess what?
No.
Now we're doing
the
Californians.
There's three Californians. There's two Bostonians.
Massachusetts.
That's
true.
There's two New Jersey, New Yorkies.
Upstate New York.
Same thing, really.
Yeah, but to be fair, Michelle, Southern California is different from Northern.
I've only known her 6 years, and I didn't know that.
Okay, so actually, there are two things I love about the show the most. One, three.
Oh my god!
Do you need?
We're doing a show with my wife, which I love to do, and I rarely get the opportunity. We actually get to interact on stage, which is a blast, and I want more of that.
Not for her.
Don't spoil it.
The way you treat her.
Yeah.
She's ashamed of yourself, Mr. Weisenheimer.
Don't spoil it. The phrase rage vomit comes to mind. No.
Spoiling anything.
Yeah.
Sexy.
No, beyond that, which is the best part, what Joey touched on is the amount of stuff going on in the background. If you're not involved in the main dialogue of the plot going on through the play, people don't just stop in their lives. And we're doing that. And we have side conversations going on, activity going on. It's all driven by what our characters are doing. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the plot sometimes. And the hard part is to not distract. And the last part is I get to play a role that is completely against type for anything I have ever played.
Mm-hmm.
Saul is just an absolute scumbag, and I'm having a blast plumbing the depths.
Plumbing the depths.
Yes.
Oh, there's a
movie
title.
Just how depraved can his mind get?
He already made that movie.
Candy Apples was in that movie.
I did.
Plumbing the depths. Starring Candy Apples. As the plumber.
Coming this summer. Plumbing the Depths 4.
Yeah, actually three installments.
dirty.
I want to go last.
No.
Yeah, right, Plumbard would have murdered your character by now.
Probably.
My favorite part of the show is when they reveal the murderer. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. My favorite part of the show, honestly, is Laura Arwood. Every time I'm watching backstage, she comes up with something new, and I start laughing all over again. But also, I like playing Alexander, which is my character within the play, because it's just let it. He just lets it all hang out. There's no subtlety at all. It's like being in a Michael Bay movie. There's no subtlety. It's just blah.
The we were talking about power vomiting or something?
Yeah.
A
minute
ago?
Rage vomiting.
Rage vomiting.
Okay. Tick so off. Since I am the estrogen in the room, I am just going to get all sappy.
Don't get it off.
For me, the theater is about relationships. And it's often the relationships between the characters. But also, I see theater as an opportunity to build community. I think that we learn about life by sharing stories and telling stories. And there is always truth in every play. Even something as silly, farcy as this, there's truth about people. And
it's not in Farsi, everybody. So don't worry about that. Unless you speak Farsi, and then you're going to come and be disappointed. So,
but it's about. I think we can. I don't know. I think we can relate to the people in the show and laugh our asses off at them. But what is even more special to me is the theater community, and to be able to perform and create something beautiful. It's ridiculous, but it's still beautiful in its ridiculous way with people that I love in real life and that I'm friends with in real life is just super special to me. And so that's why that's my favorite part about this, which goes in with Ron. I mean, I think the theater should be it should be one of two places where everyone is welcome and where everyone learns to support and care for each other. And I think that we have done a really good job of that with this cast, that we are very supportive of each other and that we're giving each other grace and making something really special together, even though it is a ridiculous farce. If people are rolling in the aisles, then I think that we have accomplished something really cool.
I will second that.
Yay.
It is noticeable when you're being in a cast of people that you already know, there's a certain amount of safety in taking chances with your character and really opening up on stage because you know they have your back.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You bunch of jerks.
But don't miss another fucking cue.
Should I skip a page or two?
Hey.
Was
rehearsal.
Oh, rehearsals don't count. Just ask the director.
And if they had the spotlight, I would have known what the fuck I was doing. I was like, oh yeah, I got to do that.
Gotta get that guy on it.
He's learning. He's new.
Is it the actual spotlight we're using?
Yes.
That is...
Yes. I'll be blind by the end of the run of the show. So
will we all.
You know, you might as well just put... You should pull out sunglasses and slide them on.
Maybe I will.
It would good. Be kind of funny.
Be very Burt Reynolds of you.
It would be...
Shades. Funny snow.
I didn't like working with the guy who did Boogie Nights. Even though it resurrected my career.
I'm an idiot.
Nope. Sunglasses, yes. Can't stand it. Stop it.
Well, does it every night.
What?
In the show.
Oh!
Chewing gum,
you idiot.
Oh, got it. That sounds
right in his ear throughout the show.
Yes. Oh my god, last night she was popping it right in my ear, and I'm just like, oh.
Meanwhile, I'm off stage thinking, wow, that's loud.
And then, and I'm like, and then I forget who was on this side screaming in my ear. I'm like, oh.
I think it was you.
I think it was him.
I think it was
Mr.
Come to all the shows so you can see what crazy exclamations Alexander has every night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Runs the gamut.
And don't miss the Dirty Show on Sunday night.
Yeah.
That's not a real thing.
Don't wait, give it wait. Away. I mean, no. That's not happening.
That's just internet rumors.
We wouldn't do that. That would be unprofessional.
We're going to perform it at a church. Oh.
No, but I think it would. I really do kind of wish, I mean, for your listeners, to make it more family friendly, as was requested, we've had to. Yes, Doug, I know how you feel about it. We have had to change quite a bit of the language, which I, in a lot of ways, I don't know.
Doug was just doing
Honestly, I changed like two things.
Yeah, I don't think changing the language changed the intent of the show. It's just, it's my fault. I should have just preemptively changed it all in the very beginning.
We just switched the board. We just switched the board and asked us to do it before we were mostly off book.
Well, like I said, that's my fault, and I should have just preemptively done that.
No, it's not your fault.
but I think it would be super fun to do it the way it was originally written.
Too late. I can't go back and memorize those lines now.
just for
good.
Just for, you know, not for a real show. But I think it would be really fun.
Well, I think it's written well enough that changing those particular words don't take away from the humor.
No, not at all. Good. And I think
the bits are still there.
I think I'm going to be completely honest with you. You know, sometimes the cussing is simply low hanging fruit, and I think that it's actually funnier when you listen to Alexander, his new cussing, quote air quotes around cussing. I think it's actually funnier because. It's hilarious to hear what you come up with. And
it's like the ridiculous replacements they come up with for R-rated shows at the show on
TV.
USA or something.
let's be clear. There, like, when she says cussing, there wasn't, like, cussing in this show. I mean, cussing is, fuck you! I mean,
yeah,
that's not in this show. It's very benign language. Now there's less.
Barely PG-13, probably PG. I don't know.
It was PG-13.
And it was primetime TV.
Yeah. It's like I said, the Naked Gun has him hanging off a statue, jerking off a statue, basically, as he's trying to climb back up the building.
Well, we're
that's
still
going to
have an erection in the show. That's
yeah, yeah.
That's not in the script.
You've never seen that movie, have you?
No, but you are all very nice to send me the little clip.
That's
of
right.
The from him holding the statue up to
and
out
he,
of context,
and then,
it's
he, and then he walks in with it. Oh, that's where that comes from.
So I feel like I saw it with all of you.
Yeah.
I always like to watch those types.
Saw that movie when I was in, like,
Dick movies?
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
By myself.
Yeah.
Meaning without parents.
Yeah.
My friend and I went.
So you could.
Yeah, no.
I don't know where I was going.
Enjoy the movie without someone covering my eyes? Yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Or my ears.
Especially the dick scene, yes.
Yeah, you know.
But my parents also let me watch Beverly Hills Cops, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And the Blues Brothers when I was three. Yeah. That's
Debbie,
right.
Debbie Does Dallas.
No.
Backdoor Sluts Night.
No.
No?
No, and it's just, I mean, there are... I don't know. I think we've managed to actually be more creative than what the original words were, and it's fine. And I think the intent is still there. It's just now it's definitely a PG and not PG-13.
Yeah. Boo! The PG movies now suck.
It can always be more rewarding to earn a laugh without swearing. And
Passion of the Christ was rated R.
Cheapish humor. Swearing is not always cheap humor. In this case, it wasn't, but. It can be cheap sometimes. We're still getting laughs.
And you may still hear it because sometimes I forget.
For whose sake?
Yeah.
Pete, Sam,
Peach? Was
Josh.
It Pete?
Dildo's sake.
Caitlin.
Liza's sake.
Caitlin.
You know, that guy, Frank Dildo.
Caitlin Jenner.
What?
Frank,
Frank Dildo. You know him. That's the guy who lives down the street.
Apparently not as well as you know him.
He cuts my lawn.
That he mows your lawn. I'm sure he does. He mows my lawn, if you know what I mean.
He mows the lawn. That's what I mean. He brings out the word.
Mows
he mows the lawn.
What? What did you think?
What'd you think? He leaves the clippings all over the place. The grass, not the toenails. You're disgusting. Anyway. So, we've run out of stuff to talk about unless we're going to spoil the entire show.
Oh, let's do that.
Unless there's something else you want to say.
No. Last Jedi?
No. Oh, I've already talked about that movie twice on the podcast, okay? There's you lost your chance when Andre was on the show. We talked about Solo. We talked about Last Jedi. You lost your chance. After this, what does everybody have? Does anybody have something lined up after this, or are you planning on doing something, going out for something? Jason, we'll start with you since Ron doesn't want to be started with.
Don't start with me.
Want to be starting something?
Start with me.
Want to be starting something?
I am very part-time in the theater. I'm doing one or two shows a year, so I'm not actively seeking out the next thing right now. Probably just wait to see what other major production Mia does and follow her.
You do Comedy Works, though. So.
I do. I am a few times a month at Comedy Works, most often in the voice booth. They moved about a year and a half ago into a new building.
Right across the hall from Saunders Road.
Yeah, in the Royal Bakery building where Brick House is.
She's a brick.
House. Across the road from Meredith College on Hillsborough Street. And they've got 5 shows per week. Five shows per weekend. Mm-hmm. Every weekend.
Nice. Michelle.
My next job is, it looks like I would be directing for my first time ever in Barclays 4.0, which will be performing at Fortnite Theater. Fortnite Brewery.
Yeah.
We're turning into a theater.
If it was a theater, it might have worked out better for me.
I'm going to be tempted to go out to Barclays.
So, yes, I am dipping my toe.
Yes, you should.
Please do. Please do. I need to talk. So I will be dipping my toe into directing for the first time, and
depending on
we'll Rochambeau later.
Depending on what I'm directing there, we might be fighting for him.
Okay.
Ladies, there's plenty of meat going around.
So we heard.
There's a whole cabinet.
Zing!
Both of us.
There's a whole
That's
cabinet.
The best thing about this show. I made a new friend. Ron Lopez, everybody.
It's a whole pantry full of soup to go around.
Other than that, I'm actually planning on taking a break for the winter. Unless something really, really impressive, exciting comes along. I'm actually casting a show, my first show at Sonorous Road, in the spring.
That's like in April, right? Or something like that?
It opens in April, in Stage Kiss.
I'll never understand how they do that. It's like, hey, we're going to cast you a year in advance. I broke my leg. Whatever, you're still in it.
I'm
looking forward to figuring out how it works.
Yeah, right.
But that's all I got lined up right now.
Right.
I am directing in Barclays 4.0, and that's in November.
November.
Competition. I might be fighting you for actors, depending on when they give us what we're directing.
Yes.
Which should be tomorrow.
Or tonight.
Yeah, true that.
I'm going to stay up and wait.
Noelle is also directing for Barclays 4.0. I do Dinner Detective and Tony and Tina's Wedding, which are interactive acting gigs. Interactive dinner theater. Don't you make that mean?
Don't tell my Dinner Detective; they'll know you're an actor.
That's true. They'll know what she looks like.
I didn't introduce myself. They can't see me.
Okay, so Mia's blonde. She's been.
That's just her hair.
Yeah, now I have to dye my hair. And then I am stage man. No, I'm not. I'm assistant directing. Is it 4 Elvises and a Wedding?
4 Weddings and an Elvis.
4 Weddings and an Elvis.
It's a better ratio.
In Cary.
It's too many Elvi.
Vegas doesn't even have that many Elvi.
Yes.
They might.
No, they'd probably have 700.
And I'm figuring out what show to pitch to Cary for the 1920 season.
Good lord.
Sweet.
Well, you're 100 years too late.
100?
That's
1920.
Yeah. Sweet game.
Prohibition.
Yeah. 2019.
You will go.
2020.
Yeah.
We'll be skipping Joey for this question.
Damn.
Rob.
I have nothing lined up.
Yet.
Thank you for playing.
You should also chat from our place.
Yes.
We happen to know some of the directors.
We do?
Mm-hmm. Who do I gotta sleep in to get a good roll? Sleep with, sleep in.
Wow. Have to or can?
I am not a tauntaun.
Who might have to sleep with to get a good roll?
You can sleep next to me, but not in me.
It's gonna park his
bus. You're bigger than me.
Dirty.
How are you a child of the same era I'm from, and you didn't say Close to Me by The Cure. Get the fuck out of there. Yeah. Right, so you go. You go ahead.
That's in my car too.
There you
go.
The Who?
Me too.
Oh my God. The Who. Good reference.
Actually, The Cure is one of my favorite bands, and I was trying to relate
from
to
the slap
other people.
I have nothing lined up. A few things I'm looking at auditioning for.
Like what, Joseph?
Because
Joey wants to keep as many people away as possible.
Also that. otherwise, I'm going to be going to the Peach Awards at the for Carrie Players, which Douglas and I are nominated, and also Laura Parker from the show. So.
And Douglas and I are presenting.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to do a bit.
So yeah, we have to write a bit.
No.
Mm-hmm. You're going to do a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be the serious presenter like Tommy Lee Jones. These are the nominees. But
just let her do a bit for like
whatever.
3 minutes and then you're only
and
like,
and I just look at her like this. That's nice. That's nice. Wow.
No,
five nominees. Those nominees are.
I'll never forget that. I think it was when Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig came out, and they did. I think it was the Oscars, and maybe in the Golden Globes, but they did.
Google it.
I'm not gonna do it right now, but they did. They were doing like Best Actress, and they were just saying, and she was in. We saw all the movies, and she was in this movie, and she said, "You get out of here." It was hilarious. Everyone's dying. They cut to Tommy Lee Jones. He's just stone faced. He's like, he's like the biggest sourpuss in the world.
Speaking of sourpuss,
yeah, that's right. Speaking of sourpuss, I don't have anything lined up either. I may actually be retiring from acting.
No. And
I have written and submitted 2 plays to Bar Plays. I'll find out in 2 days from now, I guess, if I got selected or not. And then I'm also submitting to Play Slam in Chapel Hill, which is also in November, but yet it's Play Slam's interesting. It's basically they take a bunch of sketches and it's a contest for the writers, and then the audience votes on the best pair of sketches, basically, you know, for the writers, and then the winner gets $100. But what makes it so interesting is that you get your cast that day and you have like an hour or something to like prepare, and they can have the scripts on stage, but it's interesting. It's very,
it was 15 minutes.
Yeah.
In Carbro.
Something like that. So
2 minutes of rehearsal. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm confused. Why the deadline is September 12th and the show's in November.
Well, 3 of us, Michael, Doug and I saw Joey perform in Play Slam and Carrie this year.
Yeah.
Where Wargrave from And Then There Were None wrote
Gus Allen
wrote one of the plays, and it is legitimately one of the funniest things that I have ever seen on stage in my entire life.
Yeah, it was really
funny. It was
great.
Just the most fantastic piece of theater I've ever seen.
Talk
about ridiculous farsi.
Yeah. But as far as acting goes, yeah, I'm taking a break too. I got a novel to finish and other stuff that I'm working on. I've gotten the playwriting bug again, so we'll see what happens with that.
And we've got trivia in like 3 weeks, so.
Yeah, I have to do the fucking trivia too, so.
What trivia?
It's the trivia story. We keep getting invited to, I think.
Is the one we're not invited to.
No, well, I don't know.
That's right, because I forbid it. Now.
I lost on that.
Trivia.
This is about to get nasty.
I am so offended.
Me too.
We're going to have trivia somewhere else.
Oh my God.
You tell him.
All right. You tell him, Steve Dave.
Somewhere, and then you'll know.
Does anybody have anything else to add?
Thank you for letting us
ruin your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome, you bastards.
Thank you for letting us drive off your tens of listeners.
Tens? It's my friend Jill and Jim, and that's it.
You should probably get about
maybe Jack, I don't know.
17 minutes of useful footage here.
Yeah, I know, right? Does anyone want to talk about Captain Marvel? Or no? Okay. So,
how
yeah.
much I hate Ray.
Women suck.
Don't forget
Ray.
To tune in tonight.
Oh. No,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can probably go to the website and possibly,
yeah,
if it's saved on there. We're going, tonight after this, we're going to Carlboro to be on the Carrie Playwrights Forum radio show, which is tonight at 9 o'clock. So you can go.
Well,
I can post the link in the thing in the description.
It's
you can
W something dot something.
Yeah.
You know,
good one, Drools.
What's cool about that radio station and what Christian, the host, is doing is he wants to produce actual radio plays on that were written by local playwrights on throughout the hour. So,
then it looks like I'll be talking to this person.
it looks like if you write a radio play that
perhaps
you know some directors.
Perhaps a
10-minute
play
that
I heard things.
Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do voice work, but I don't wear blue.
I don't know about that, but yeah, no, it's gonna be fun.
Yes. Drop Dead, a farce.
You Drop Dead
is
by Billy Van Zandt.
Billy Zane.
And Jane Millmore
is going to be how do you put it? Showing, playing,
opening.
I do movies.
Thursday.
Opening on Thursday, September 13th.
Yes.
At
the day before my birthday.
Nobody cares.
Happy birthday.
Nobody cares about that. At 7:30, and then 7:30 on the 14th, 2 p.m. and 7:30 on the 15th, and 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Sunday, the 16th. Y'all are lucky Game of Thrones is not on. Or else
I would
not be on
that
show.
Probably taking the director out after that Friday show, so if you're going to skip one, that Saturday matinee might be a little rough.
Yeah, it'll be like the middle school show. Oh my god,
it'll be the depressing.
Oh my
version
god,
of
I was gonna get assaulted.
We went out the night before, and then we had to get up, and then I'm like, I walked in, Noelle's getting ready. I'm just like, I'm gonna freaking be here.
You sound like Alabama Miller,
and I don't even drink. I'm just like, I'm so tired. You're ruining the show. You're giving it all away. Shut up. So I would like to thank Jason Christ.
Hi.
Michael Parker.
Hola.
Mia Peters.
Hi.
Ron Lopez.
Hello.
And Joey Desina.
Close enough.
Joey Desitin. He's
Joey
good for your rash. For coming on the Hodgepodge Podcast.
Ooh, gross.
Sorry, Dirty A, we ran out of time.
Phrasing.
And we'll see you next time. Next time, Dirty A and I will be doing our 5-year anniversary episode.
All right.
Where we'll discuss events that Dirty A probably doesn't remember. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, folks.
Drinking. Thank you, Doug.